Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I really wanted to preach about the tongue thing. Man, did I really want to preach about that. I mean, I was on fire about that, you know. That tongue is a nuclear bomb. But next week's reading also deals with the tongue, so we'll hear about that next week. Instead, the president of our congregation, our illustrious president, Bob Houchin, and I have been working together at the direction of our MMB to begin a mission and vision planning process for our congregation. And so I wanted to talk to you about that today and what that looks like and what that means for us, because it's in a very, very exciting time here at Christ Lutheran Church. What it means is that we're going to move forward. What it means is that as a body of Christ, we're going to establish a plan together, together as ministers in Christ Jesus, the priesthood of all believers, that's you and I, that will set a course and chart a direction for ministry for the next 10 years. We will work together on finding ways to use who we are as the body of Christ to grow this congregation, to grow the kingdom of heaven, and to reach those who don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's very exciting stuff. And we're going to do it together. We're going to do it together, and we're going to do it in exciting ways. And if we make mistakes, we're going to say, "Up, that didn't work." We'll check it off our list, and we'll say, "Let's try a different way," because that's kind of how it works when grace leads the kingdom of God, right? Wouldn't you agree? It's really about grace. And it was in the Old Testament lesson for today, too. Hey, it may not work, so we'll try it a different way. The other thing I want to share with you is I'm really excited about this because I've been trained for this my whole life. This is the kind of leadership that I've been trained for during my ministry. Through my studies at Willow Creek, through my studies at the Pastoral Leadership Institute, learning from Mike Breen, and of course the Transformational Congregation Network, which is the body of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who teaches us how to do this. In fact, if we really stop to think about it, the model that we use here at Christ that we went to a long time ago, called the policy-based governance model, is the model of ministry that has been set forth starting with the synod itself down to our districts and down to our congregations. The problem is a lot of times we at the congregational level really don't understand how that is supposed to operate. So today, in looking at vision and mission and planning, we're going to learn about how all these things fit together and how exciting it will be for us as we move forward as a family of God to do mission, to do ministry, to reach people for Jesus. Are any of you excited about that? Good, some of you are excited about that. I'm happy because you are the ones who truly get ministry and mission. So here's the thing, the vision and mission plan. This is kind of what's going to happen over the next 6 months to 8 months. We're going to start with a large team of people, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get together and we're going to look at the strengths of our congregation. What do we do well at Christ Lutheran Church? What do we do well? We don't want to focus on our weaknesses. Our weaknesses will improve as our strengths grow. We all have weaknesses. If we spend our whole life looking at our weaknesses, what good would that do? Instead, we build upon our strengths. And we all know, and you, I hope you know, this congregation has so many strengths that it's overflowing through everybody. So it's exciting to me for us to be able to sit down with a large group of people and say, "This is Christ Lutheran Church, and this is what we do well." Then the body of people will get smaller, and the next thing we're going to look at, based upon our strengths, is our values. What do we value at Christ Lutheran Church? An example of that might be, I'm not telling you our values, but an example of that might be, since one of our strengths is serving the elderly in our community with Barnabas House and Senior Share, one of our values may be serving the elderly. That could very well be one of our values, for example. Right? And so then once our values are done, we'll get a little bit smaller in our team and we will look for our vision. And our vision statement is a larger statement that says, why are we here? Why do we exist? Why do we want to be a congregation? Why do we want to be located at 4409 Sycamore School Road? Why do we want to meet on Sundays? Why do we want to do the things we want to do? Next comes what we call our mission statement. The mission statement is a smaller tagline, usually a one-sentence tagline that is based on the vision statement that we can all learn and memorize so that in the instant we can quote it together and know exactly why we come together as a church at Christ Lutheran Church. The next step After we have looked at our strengths, our values, our mission, our vision, our mission, and our goal, mission is to develop our goals. How will we achieve our vision? How will we achieve what we want to look like? What steps will we implement as a congregation over 5 years and over 10 years to get to be the Christ Lutheran Church that we envision together? So let's make sense out of all this. It sounds like a lot of stuff, and it is a lot of stuff. And part of it relies also on the way we operate as a congregation. How does a healthy church function? I want you to understand something very clearly. The churches that are not functioning in this way are the churches that are dying. All across the Missouri Synod and all across the United States of America, you can look at churches today that are dying. They are not doing outreach ministry. In-reach is great, but taking care of each other is not going to grow the church. Eventually, you all are going to die, or you're going to move, and the church will die. Let me give you an example of this. My first call was to the Eastern District as a missionary. And one of my jobs as a missionary, I was trained to go into churches and do exactly this. And we had a church in Buffalo, New York, in what was called the Iron Island of Buffalo, New York. It was surrounded by railroad tracks, the Lovejoy area. And there was this little church. And my district said, go in there and preach and do some work with these people and help them grow, because there's only about 12 people there on Sunday morning and the church is dying. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll try. Might as well. The first thing I noticed when I got to the church was, guess what? Everybody had the same last name. I thought I was back in Tennessee in the mountains for a little bit. The president of the congregation was related to the head elder, was related to the, you get the point, right? So I thought that was kind of weird, but we worked on things. And I had meetings with them. I talked about their strengths and their values and all of these things, and nothing really came forward. So we really dug in. I would suggest, well, why don't you try a food pantry now? We don't want to do that. We really don't have the time to. Well, what else are you doing except meeting on Sunday mornings? Well, you know, right? So I spent months doing this. And I go with my presentation loaded to their council meeting, which was a family reunion. And I was last on the docket to help them reveal this plan of how they were going to grow. And first on the docket was the issue that their basement was leaking. You know, for Lutherans, the building is first priority, right? Always. So they had three bids. The first bid was presented, and they said, no, we don't like that bid. Too expensive. Second bid, to keep the basement from crumbling under the church, was presented, and they said, that bid just doesn't sound right. Third bid was presented. And the guy said, oh, we think you can get 10 more years before you really have to do anything. And they all said, well, that's a great bid, because we won't be here in 10 years, and the last person to leave will just shut off the lights. It came to my turn to do the presentation. I packed up my suitcase, my briefcase. I looked at them and said, have fun dying. I have other churches who want to live. I walked out the door and never went back. And that church is dead today. This is why it's crucial that we study how healthy churches function, because churches do die. And when they don't follow the biblical model and biblical example, which we will look at for church growth, for church structure, for vision and mission, the church will die. So what do these roles each, how do these roles each operate in our congregation? So I had my wife, as brilliant as she is, draw up a car for us. So let's bring up a car on the screen. Isn't that a beautiful car? She did a really good job. I could not do that, but she did. And we're going to look at the model as it applies to a car. As you see, the car has a steering wheel where the driver sits, the passenger seat where the backseat driver, well, really, the passenger driver sits. So that would be me in the driver's seat, my wife, oh, never mind. Then you have the left passenger's back seat and then the right passenger back seat. And then what's that thing in the back? It's called a boot. Oh, no, this is the United States. It's called a trunk. And so when you put all these things together, you have a car and you have proper functioning of the church. So now let's look at where each part of our mission development, our mission plan goes when it comes to building the church. In the driver's seat, before we flip that, oh, you already flipped it. Who sits in the driver's seat? Well, God is over all of it. But who sits in the driver's seat? Mission, vision, values, or goals? Mission. Mission sits in the driver's seat because mission is what drives our congregation forward. It's what guides us in what we want to do. Mission is the very statement and definition by which we decide what we will do and how we will operate as a congregation. Notice what's not in the driver's seat: the constitution, bylaws, and policies of the congregation. Notice that heavily. The dying congregation puts that there. What's in the passenger seat? Vision. The larger picture sits right next to mission. To remind mission, this is what we're going to look like. Keep going forward. Behind mission, to support mission, would be the goals of the congregation. This is what we are going to do to achieve our vision. To live out our mission, to make our vision possible within 5 to 10 years. Next to goals in the back seat would be programs. Programs are the ministries that we do as a congregation. Now, why would programs be last in the car? What happens if programs drive the ministry? Well, if programs drive the ministry, we take a shotgun approach to ministry and we never hit the target of our mission and our vision. We do too much and too many things that may not be part of who we are. So our programs are always defined in light of our mission, our vision, and our goals. Guess what goes hidden in the trunk? Policy, governance, the Constitution, and the bylaws. It's hidden in the trunk for an important reason. It's there to serve. It's there to be hidden. It's there only as a guide, not a rule. Now, let's take a look at how Jesus would set up a vision and mission plan for the church, and I think this will make sense for you, okay? So first of all, in the mission seat for Jesus, what would Jesus' mission be? We've talked about this before, the Missio Dei. What is his mission? That every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord and Savior. That is the mission of Jesus Christ. It's a short statement, it's memorable, and this is what Jesus would have us to do. And our mission ought to reflect that mission. So what do you think Jesus' vision is, his big picture? What do you think it is? What? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's vision, Jesus' vision. That's the goal. That's the main picture. That's what he wants. It looks like heaven, and it is heaven, and that's his vision. And his mission serves the vision of getting people into heaven. What would Jesus' goal be? He has one. You can have more than one. He has some sub ones. What is his main goal? The Great Commission, which says what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What do you think his programming is? For Jesus, his programming was, first of all, setting up small churches, home churches, and growing it in to larger churches. That was for Jesus. Now, the policy and structure of Jesus is very clear. It was the law. The policy should be formed from the word alone and the mission. Let's think about this for a minute. The policy was the law. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. That's what belonged in the trunk, right? How did Jesus do ministry? By using the law or by using the gospel? Did he use the law? Yes, for Christians who are believers who are already going astray, yes. But for the growth of the church and the kingdom, his primary mission, his primary use was that of the gospel and the proclamation that Jesus Christ has died for us, that Jesus Christ has risen for us, that Jesus Christ lives eternally for us, that we are forgiven. This is what Jesus used. You see, policy should be formed from the word alone and the mission of the church. All too often today, well, let me ask you a question. Who are the policy drivers of Jesus' day? The Pharisees. The Pharisees. No, Jesus, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath. No, Jesus, that's wrong. That's not according to the law. No, Jesus, this is how it has to be done. And the Pharisees did a great job of making sure that they made their voices known. Mike Breen says the church throughout the world today is full of Pharisees. People who don't like their pastor, people who don't like his leadership, people who want control and to hang on to control, people who want things the way they want it, people who fear, and notice what's at the core of this, all of it is fear. Where does fear come from? Satan. And Mike Breen says policy drivers or modern-day Pharisees are being driven by Satan, not the love and grace of God. Not the love and grace of God. Isn't that interesting? Policy drivers are driven, like the Pharisees, by fear, which comes from Satan, not love and grace and mercy. So it's interesting to me, and I started thinking about this. Well, how is this policy? How is the governance? How are all these things used? It's used for course correction, right? Sometimes we have a map in our trunk. And if we get off course, we get the map out, and it helps us get back on the right course. It's used as a guide or a map. It's used for support. It's not used as the driver or the leader. Let me ask you a question. Let me say a statement here. This makes kind of sense, right? We wear underwear for support. That's why it exists, right? We don't flaunt our underwear for everybody to see. Well, some people do, but we don't normally. Why would we do that with our policies, our structures, and our procedures? It's like taking the driver's manual and putting it in the front driver's seat and saying to the driver's manual, here, owner's manual, here, drive the car. It's not going to work. The car will not go anywhere. The car will sit and rust and decay. You see, that's what Pharisees do. But fortunately for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, when they decided to take this structure into concept, they put safeguards into place to protect the church from Pharisaical laws. And it's important that we know about those. The first one is the divine call that you issue me, the call from God. Did you know that the divine call you issue to me comes with a call, a vocation, and a supplement to vocation? And what that divine call says, first and foremost, and only, is my job is to administer word and sacrament, to correct the erring, to teach and preach the word of God, to assist when needed in the administration of the church, and to make sure that everything in the church is upheld within the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. That's it. Notice what it doesn't say. Let's go to this. Next is the ordination vows. If you've ever been to an ordination or an installation, the pastor says the same vows. He takes vows to uphold what? Oh my goodness, I brought it with me. He takes vows to uphold this stuff, and there's a lot more. Do you know what this stuff is? The confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. He takes vows to uphold the Word of God. Now, these are built in by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to make sure that the pastor's office isn't brought into man-made rules, laws, and regulations, because the pastoral office cannot be run by Pharisees. Notice what a pastor does not swear to: the Constitution, the bylaws, or the policies. The pastor can agree to those things when they're in line with the confessions and the word, but only when they're in line with the confessions and the word. And that's how a healthy church grows and operates. And lastly, there's one more thing that the Missouri Synod has put in place that protects us. You are the bosses. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it is a bottom-up structure. The power of the ministry in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod rests with the members of the congregation who are the voting members. And that's a beautiful thing, because what happens in congregations where sometimes leadership can get too powerful or policy or structure can be a dangerous thing is the members have the ability to come together and call a voters meeting and hold their leaders accountable for what's going on. Even if a pastor goes astray doctrinally or starts doing something immorally, it is the responsibility of the congregation to say, hold on, something's not right. Every organization that exists in this church is accountable to you, the members of Christ Lutheran Church. Every decision that is made by your leadership and your elders is accountable to you, the leaders of Christ Lutheran Church. And I encourage you to get involved as we do this process. Help us to develop our vision, mission, structure, goals. Help us to develop this. Read the minutes that come out from your MMB and your leadership. Hold your leadership and me accountable if I'm falsely doing the word of God, please. If I'm not doing my job that you have called me to do, hold me accountable. But when we operate as a team, when we operate with the proper structure of the church in line, nothing is going to hold Christ Lutheran Church back. Nothing. And no one. Because the grace of God will flow from this place into the hearts and lives of every person that walks by, and they will be touched by Jesus, loved by Jesus, and enveloped by Jesus. And that's what we're about. That's what we're about. If we exist for any other reason, we fail at being a church. Because the Great Commission establishes the reason we exist: to love each other, and to love those who don't know Jesus. To love each other in our faults and our weaknesses. To love each other if we disagree with each other. To love each other when we may be sweating our, pulling our hair out with each other. To love the homeless person that comes to the door. The gay person that comes through the door. To love them as Jesus would. And to wrap our arms around them so that the gospel may prevail. So I hope I thoroughly didn't confuse you. This is certainly an exciting time for us, because we are going to grow in exciting ways, and I can't wait to work with each and every one of you as the true leadership of this congregation to develop where we will go, what we will look like, and what we will do. In the name of Jesus, amen.